Okay, ladies, why is skincare so confusing? I feel like I've used a hodgepodge of whatever the so-called latest and greatest products are, or just whatever my friends were loving at the time. Until I discovered Bare Faced. I first started following Bare Faced on Instagram, and I've learned so much. The company was founded by a nurse practitioner who is passionate about providing simple, science-backed education and is a mama of four, and you know we love that. What's really unique and helpful is their team of skincare specialists that you can text for complimentary consults and to answer any skin questions. It's like getting a professional recommendation from the comfort of your couch. This is how I know exactly what to use for my skin type. You can text them too. Their number is on their Bare-Faced Instagram, and I'll put the number in the show notes as well. The most important thing is to understand your unique skin type, and the Bare-Faced Skin Quiz makes it easy to figure out in just 5 minutes. Head over to their Instagram at Bare-Faced to take the skin quiz and to find a wealth of information on all things skincare. Hey, here's the best part. Got it from my mama podcast listeners can get 15% off their first purchase by using code MAMA15. So Carrie Edwards is one of the most respected females in the Nashville music industry. Carrie is, in my opinion, like all good moms, the perfect combination of tender and tough, both traits that have proved useful while guiding the careers of her artists, which include Luke Bryan and Cole Swindell, among many others. We met on Music Row years ago, but we also spent a little bit of time on the ball field when our boys were little, so it was especially fun to have her here at the house. You are going to love her stories, and she is a complete rock star here in Nashville. Let's get to it. So when we first had the discussions about the podcast and what we were doing, and we were talking about talking to moms of artists, and then we're like, let's branch out and talk to some of these rock star moms in the business that balance it all. You were the first person that came to my mind. I was like, I would love to sit down with Carrie. I just have a lot of respect for you as a person, the artist that you work with. And then I'm just so curious about how you have managed to be in the world of management and then, you know, manage your home. Your husband's a professional. It's not like he just stays at home and took care of the kids when they were young.
I guess we'll just say he's the saint really behind it all.
We're going to give him credit right at the beginning.
Right off the bat.
Oh my goodness.
He has definitely put in his own amount of hours in the business behind the scenes, you know.
Right.
That's, yes.
So incredible support then at home.
Definitely. He's a dentist in Franklin, but mm-hmm. I did get lucky. My parents moved to Nashville from West Virginia, like right when my son was born. Chad, my husband, he is from Nashville. He's a native. So we met at Lipscomb at the university when I came here to go to college. So that's where we met. We didn't really date during that time. We kind of dated at the back end of that.
Uh-huh.
And then he went on to dental school in Memphis. And we got married like right before he left for dental school. But the crazy part of that story is he moved to Memphis to go to dental school, and I stayed in Nashville for 4 years and kept working.
After you got married?
Yes.
He moved to, wow. Yes.
That wasn't initially the plan. He kind of was like late acceptance into dental school.
Uh-huh.
And so we kind of just thought he wasn't going to get in, and he would, you know, come up with a different plan.
Right.
And he got accepted like a month and a half before our wedding date. So then I was like, wait, I love this job. I was working at a record label then,
okay,
at Arista Records. But I was totally leaving and going to go to move to Memphis. But one day my boss at Arista came in and just said, you know, if you can figure something out, we can figure out a way to work with you, which was a big deal then.
So you were kind of working remote before working remote was cool, really?
Yes, but it was really one day a week, but mm-hmm. I would leave on Thursdays and then go to Memphis and work from there. I was in A&R, so I would just take music with me and songs mm-hmm. and listen through demos, and I really did do it. And the great part is I actually got a ton done because I'd be driving for 6 hours, you know, there and then back on that Sunday. So I went through a lot of songs.
Yeah, you had a captive as speaker and you, yes, no distractions and could just listen in.
So to date myself, that was cassette world time one point. It shifted to CDs at some point, but initially it was. And my husband always called it the seat of broken dreams, because when I didn't like it, I would put it in the back, you know, and if I didn't like the demo,
just
and like save
toss
the
it
ones.
In the back seat. The front seat had all the good ones in there. Yeah. Oh, wow. So, that's so funny. So do you think that experience early on is kind of what has helped you? Because I would say one of the things that you help your artists do so well is two songs. I mean, when I think about the songs Luke and Cole and these guys have put out, do you think your experience in A&R and listening to those songs on those 6-hour car rides has been helpful?
I hope so. I hope it's helpful to them. I always kind of joke and say, at least they let me keep doing that part of it. But it is truly my passion in this business is finding songs.
You worked in publishing for a bit too, right?
So I started in A&R at Arista. Then I moved into publishing and I had two different jobs in publishing. And the second publishing job is where Luke and I actually met. So he had just gotten signed to a writing deal and I got hired as creative director at that company. And that's kind of where we met and all that started. So I always said, like, I truthfully never meant to be a manager.
your story a little bit, I think, you know, people will hear that and find it so interesting because that's definitely not what you set out to do. And the way that it happened, I think, is such a cool story. I do want to go back, though, to you came to Lipscomb. You did an internship with Arista. You ended up getting to work there. When you came to Lipscomb, what did you come to study?
Initially, I was going to be a school teacher, which now is frightening to think about.
That would be the harder job.
Yeah, well, you're right, for sure. I don't know. You're kind of a teacher with artists. I don't know, in their own way. I think I changed my major pretty late in college. Like, okay. I'm shocked I didn't have to go an extra year. But I was going to into teaching, but I was going to do like speech communication side of teaching because from my high school years, that was kind of something I always loved doing. Would do some of our speech and debate and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I just shifted it and I kind of took out the teaching part of it and just stayed in communications.
Dropped
all that. I mean, I did a couple of those education classes and I was like, nope, not for me.
You didn't even have to get into the student teaching part of it to realize that. Yeah.
And truthfully, I initially thought I was going to be like you, doing more TV.
You would have been so great at that.
I don't know about that, but that was initially I wanted to be Katie Couric.
Yeah, we all did, right? Yeah. So you did Arista, you worked at EMI. Is that where you met Luke?
Well, no, EMI, I kind of did that a little bit part-time, kind of. I don't know how to explain that one, but there was a producer, Mark Bright.
Yeah.
And he did, at the time, it was more like the Black Hawk era of music. But he worked at EMI, but he also produced a lot of artists in general. But I worked for him part-time, just helping him find songs, booking his studio stuff, the players, doing his budgets. And
more personal assistant type work.
Yes. And I wasn't exactly employed by EMI. I was kind of employed by him, but was in their building all the time and did that. But what's so funny about all this, and maybe I might be saying this too early in our sit down, but all those pieces have played a role in to where I ended up.
Yeah.
I was actually at the studio yesterday with Cole. We were cutting new music and I was sitting there going, I just thrive and love every minute of that. And just what I learned by sitting in those rooms with him then, it's just, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
It's like, it's coming
at the
full
time,
circle.
I had no idea that I would still even be a part of making music. I'm actually kind of just sitting there, but
yeah,
in that moment, but just that environment and, the players and musicians. Mm-hmm. And I feel so privileged to know those people that do what they do every day. And they are, they don't get a lot of credit sometimes, the studio musician guys, but they bring a lot to the table.
Oh, for sure.
So
I think that's so cool though, when you can look back and see how God laid out these puzzle pieces of your life and then they all just kind of fit together. And you think about your experience in publishing and A&R and you didn't have management experience, but you had experience in all these different elements that, Luke and Cole and these guys were about to go through. And so I think that's really neat that now you see the why and the how.
Yeah. And even going back to the whole, I stayed in Nashville, Chad went to Memphis. I mean, this did not hit me for years, but one day it hit me, probably 10 years into management, that, that has helped us in, our marriage and our communication.
Like with you being away so much?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
And it never hit me for years, because people are constantly how do y'all do that? How do you do it? It has its challenges, of course, but.
Right.
But I think the first 4 years of our marriage, we didn't even live together.
You weren't even living in the same city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to even think. For me to even say that out loud is crazy.
When you're gone on a best run or out with, one of your artists or something, it's really not like you're because you're used to being away.
We did that. And then we, you know, obviously we were in the same house for several years before this really kicked in, you know, and mm-hmm. then, but I mean, I travel pretty much every weekend.
When did you have, your son is the oldest. Mm-hmm. When did you have him compared to what stage of your career were you in?
Well, when I had Styles, I was working at Mura Music, which was where Luke was writing. So I had, okay. you know, just, I think my son was probably like a year old when I first started there.
So that was before management. That was before yes. you started managing.
So I was in publishing. Mm-hmm. So, but I do remember the day that we were putting out Luke's first album. And at the time we had set up like a 2-week album launch. So we were like hitting different parts of the country for 2 straight weeks. But my son was starting kindergarten at Lipscomb during that time.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, the mom in me was kind of freaking out about yeah. that. So
it's already emotional. And then if you add a little bit of work guilt on top of it, that yeah. doesn't help.
So I took a red eye home.
Oh, wow.
And walked him into kindergarten and went back to the airport.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
I was like, I'll never forget myself if I don't walk him into kindergarten.
Oh, my God. And you'll never forget that story yeah, either.
I'm
mean,
so glad I did it.
Yeah. That's pretty yeah. awesome.
Even if he doesn't remember, like, for yeah. me, I needed to do it. So.
Yeah. So you had him, you were just mm-hmm. met Luke. So we got to tell the story mm-hmm. of how you weren't setting out for management, but there was something in him that you saw as a person, mm-hmm. even more as an artist, which I think is one of my favorite things about him is who he is beyond all of the glitz, the glamour, the success mm-hmm. and everything. Just kind of your initiative to just want to help him as a person.
If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at rootsmusicrambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
And initially, so, you know, when you're in the creative director role, just explain that a little bit. You're setting up co-writes, you're taking the songs and the demos, work tapes, whatever. And then you're trying to match them up with different artists mm-hmm. too. And you're going out to meet A&R and producers, and you're taking each writer's, you know, piece of music out and trying to get an artist to cut it. So that was my job with him. But then he had already been doing like his artist thing, more Southeast, very bar based, you know, but I mean, he was busy. He was doing stuff every weekend, you know, and kind of building up that part of it. But I mean, I didn't have anything to do with that for a while, but I think it was probably 2 or 3 years in, I'm like, you know, I probably should go see that sometime. So I took a group of people. We went to watch a show, but it was, I mean, Connor has definitely played some of these bars.
I
promise you.
I'm sure.
But there was a Capital City was one. And then they had a place in Milledgeville, and the same bar owner had a couple of different places.
Yeah.
And I had just gone to go see this one. And so it was a college bar. Yeah. I was actually pregnant with my daughter when I went to go see him.
Oh, great.
So I was the pregnant lady
in the college bar.
Yeah.
Love it.
Won't forget that moment. I was like, oh, wow. I feel old.
Chad didn't have to worry about anybody hitting on you while you were at the college bar.
Not at all. But coming back out of that, so seeing him live is what really made it click for me that first time.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember about that?
I just remember, I think because I went in so innocently, just like, oh, I'm going to support my writer.
Yeah.
Really had no agenda. I think that moment in the room, watching just the presence on stage and
reaction to the presence.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, Luke's a big personality. Mm-hmm. We all know. And it's, you know, it's very, but in a good way, you know, mm-hmm. like in a great way, really. So, you know, I knew he had that from just, you know, he'd walk in the publishing company and you knew he was in the building.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
he can't help himself.
Right.
But seeing that on stage just clicked a different way. And I've said this before, but I mean it. Like, I remember thinking to myself, this guy is like Kenny Chesney to me. Mm-hmm. And I remember saying that to myself. Oh, my gosh. He's like a Kenny Chesney.
That kind of presence.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And just for someone who'd never really had a hit song at all, but just to have the crowd just on, you know, pins and needles, every word that he was saying and mm-hmm. doing, whether it was a cover, whether it was a demo, like some of his songs they'd gotten hold of and And they knew the words to those too. And honestly, he was just having a blast.
Right.
And that hasn't changed, truthfully. Like he still just has a blast.
At the end of the day, he's just still having fun. Yeah.
He really is that same guy.
Yeah.
You know, he is. So that's what caught my attention. And then I couldn't stop thinking about it. I was like, I don't know. I guess I just wasn't expecting to connect and feel all that. And like, man, now I got to figure out, like, how do I help him? How do I get it better from this side?
But even in that, you weren't thinking, how do I become a part of this? You were thinking, how can I help him? You were setting up management meetings for him to meet with managers, potential managers who might be a good fit for him. And you were just helping him because you're like, there's something here.
There's something. Yeah. There was definitely just something there. Like, you know, looking back, you know, was his voice ready? Not 100%. Were the songs ready? Not 100%.
The things you might look at now as a manager, you weren't looking at then.
No. I was just like, I got to figure out how to, you know, make it. And just kind of, but I did go about, I knew he didn't have probably the songs yet.
Mm-hmm.
And just from my experience in town at that point, you know, and I did work on it. That's where I started. I was like, I have to call in basically favors and people and connections and writers that I had known just from working in the industry. And because, I mean, a lot of people still didn't know who he was.
Right.
You know? So it was like, hey, you can only imagine the call. I kind of laughed thinking about it now. I was like, hey.
So I've got this artist.
Yeah. I'm sure they were like, oh my gosh, another one of those calls. But, you know, there was definitely a handful that were like, all right, I'll do that for you, you know, but. I mean, there were a couple that didn't pan out.
Right.
But, you know, I really do think that helped him grow, you know, that part of it for him to where he started writing a few things. And then, the hardest call I made was to Jeff Stevens. And the backstory on that is Jeff Stevens is my cousin.
That's so cool.
And he's had a bunch of hits in Nashville. Uh-huh. He actually was an artist.
But that had nothing to do with your desire and getting into music of that?
No.
Okay, that's interesting.
I actually fell into music. I didn't even know you could do this
for a living.
For a living. I really didn't. I mean, I was always obsessed with music. Like everybody else, you're reading every lyric and who wrote it and what, you know, the whole deal. But I never thought
it's a hobby.
Can you go to school for that?
Yeah.
Like, that never entered my mind. I just happened into an internship that when I walked in the building at Arista, I didn't even know what that meant. Really had no idea what I was walking into.
That's so interesting.
And I actually met that person in West Virginia when I had happened to go home one weekend. So it's just a weird, weird, you know, when you look back, totally God thing of that path.
So you called Jeff, who ends up being his producer, right?
Correct.
But would Jeff's sitting here tell us that he was doing you a favor, or did he see what you saw? Do you know?
He didn't even know who he was. So yeah, no, he was definitely he was doing me a favor for sure. But we were close cousins. He and my mom are first cousins.
Okay.
But we grew up like probably five houses apart.
Oh, wow.
And so, I mean, we were always around and, you know, the Sunday pool hangs and the whole deal. But, I mean, we didn't really talk that much business. Like, if I ran into him on Music Row or at lunch or whatever, I'd be like, oh, you know, how's your mom? How's Aunt Katie? You know,
family talk, not business talk. And
so making that call, I remember being so nervous about making his call over, you know, Craig Wiseman or anybody else. I mean, I don't know. That one was just super hard for me because it was personal.
Yeah, for sure. At this point, did Luke have the Good Directions cut with Billy Currington?
No.
He didn't have that yet. Okay. So you were really selling a newbie.
I was really selling it. Oh, shucks. Come on. Yeah.
He's a really nice guy. Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't even know. I don't know what made people say they would start writing with him. I mean, he was writing anyway. I mean, I don't mean that, but I was just trying to how do we raise the bar?
Yeah.
That's where you call in some people who had already had some success.
At what point in the process, and tell me what you remember about this, you were taking management meetings, you were going with him, helping him kind of figure this out. When was it he looked at you and just said, Carrie, you're doing all the work. Why don't you just do this? Why don't you be the manager?
I don't know exactly the problem. He had said it a few times. So why don't you just do it? Why don't you not? I was like, no, I'm the song person. And I mean, I really did mean that. I wasn't playing that down. I was like, I mean, I've never even worked at a management company. Now, at a label, you're working with managers and you know how the ins and outs of it go, kind of.
Right.
You know, but until you're in management, you don't really know. I can attest to that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. He was saying it along the way, but I actually just kind of thought, I mean, I actually brushed it off most of the time, not even taking it that. It's not like we sat down in a meeting and he was like, no, this is what this I is want. What I, it was yeah. just always like off the cuff or
yeah.
that kind of thing. And it was a couple of times, but I set up two or three meetings and, you know, in between, somewhere in that timeline, I got let go from the publishing company that he was a writer at.
Okay.
So when I got let go, it hit me one day like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to work. Like, I'm talking like probably 4 years of like full blown doing a lot of stuff in his world to all of a sudden realizing I'm not going to work with him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that was hard to take because, I mean, we had, you know, the producer thing had locked in. We ended up getting him a record deal. I mean, we did showcases, all the label meetings. That wasn't fast for him at all. Like we did it. People always say like people didn't say no, mm-hmm. but they weren't saying yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They kept staying engaged,
mm-hmm.
but they no still
doors were closing.
Signing.
But yeah, yeah, that's interesting.
So that took a while. But then once Capitol decided to sign him,
mm-hmm.
I was just like, but I was terrified of it. Like terrified. I was probably terrified for the first several years, even after I committed to do it. I
right.
was terrified.
Questioning yourself and your ability to help bring the success you knew he deserved.
It was a lot. Yeah. And things I had not done that I had to figure out quick.
Mm-hmm. You guys figured it out together. Somehow you found a recipe for success, which is incredible. Tell me about kind of apply. How does your mom hat fit with management, like with these artists, some of the things that remind you of
children,
mom and your children. You've walked through some really, you know, major things with your artists, life events,
good and bad,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. obviously, with different ones of them for sure. You know, and those are hard, but I don't know. I'm very, I love people and I love helping people truly. And I don't ever, like, I love meeting new people. I don't know, just the interaction. And so I'm, I guess, kind of very nurturing personality anyway.
Right.
So even if I'm not meaning to be, a lot of times I'm just like, oh, yeah, I probably should chill out, you know. But I don't know, I just get invested in people and I want people to win and I want people to be happy,
mm-hmm.
you know, because I want to be happy
mm-hmm.
in life. And I was kind of brought up that way. My dad was very, I mean, I always call it, you know, he passed away, but he was just a peaceful person to be around. You were just always laughing when you were around him. So that always just was a trait that I was drawn to anyway. So, no, I don't know. I think you, or at least I manage that way.
Yeah. And kind of that innate encourager,
which
probably is really important.
And I will defend.
Loyal.
Yeah. And I will be like, do
fight
not
for your
mess
artist.
With my people.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is super important. And a little bit of mama bear.
Yes.
You know, it's probably a similar emotion to what we feel like if somebody messes with
lot.
Their kids.
There's several tour managers that call me mama bear.
You're like, you do mean that as a compliment,
yes,
right?
Yes. I hope so. I get a lot of mamas. I mean, honestly, like, it's so funny. I have one tour manager that just says lady. One says mama bear. One that says mama. Like, every time they call, hey, mama. I mean, there are days it's hard. There's no doubt. There are days it's hard. And again, probably because I do get very emotionally and personally. And, like, you know, I'm not good at that, like, put up a wall.
Right.
Act like you're not going to be emotionally affected by something. I'm not very good at that part, probably.
Yeah, I get it.
That's okay. Sure. I don't really want to be that person, so.
Yeah, that's what makes those relationships special. Do your artists feel like family to you?
Very much, yes. So my company's called KP Entertainment, and probably 4 or 5 years ago, we're like, you know, I was like, we need a tagline. We need, like, you know, we all were coming up with ideas and names, and we ended up going with All In. Because I feel like that is what we do and our job and our profession, and that my staff at my office, you know, they really give all to these people and their careers and helping them in some way. And so it just fit perfectly in our, like, with all the little, which I don't remember all the other ones we came up with.
But
when that one just kept standing out, I'm like, that's it.
That's what we do. Yeah.
That's what we do.
How many employees do you have now? Are people that you manage under you?
I think we have 10 or 11
okay.
in that. But I mean, I went so long with no one. No one.
You were doing this by yourself.
Yes. And it was probably not smart looking back. But I mean, one, I was still trying to figure it out. in general, you know, when Luke was, I guess when I officially said I was going to do it, I mean, we were already like, music was out. So it wasn't like, I mean,
you were ready to hit the road and all of that. Like,
think it through, you know, and plus I didn't have any money to pay anybody anyway.
So. And let's go back to the fact that you were pregnant with number two in the bar.
Yeah, I mean, you had
two little ones.
I did.
Like you had kind of established and gotten in a rhythm of doing this management thing to where, you know, having the family at home and balancing all of that was easy. You were still figuring out parenting.
If you're not using the Core 4 products for long-term skin health, you're likely very underwhelmed by the results of your skincare routine. Think of building your skincare routine like building a house. You need a solid foundation, otherwise your house will collapse. The same thing applies to your skin. If you're not using the Core 4, your skin lacks the resources to be healthy. So what are the Core 4 products? A vitamin C, SPF, an exfoliant, and a retinoid. These four products protect, repair, and strengthen the skin, and they are the first four products that are really worth investing in because they are the powerhouse of your routine. Barefaced makes it easy to get started with these four essentials with their Bare Necessities Bundle. This bundle can be customized to your skin type when you take the 5-minute skin quiz on barefaced.com. They even break down exactly how to use each product and how to introduce them into your routine. Super simple and effective. Hey, got it from all mama listeners. Get a discount code. Use MAMA15 to get 15% off your first barefaced purchase.
Very much. Yeah. My daughter, like the first time the label asked Luke to go, which I guess this, I'm trying to think what year that was. It must have been 06. They asked, and it was super last minute. I mean, I don't know why. I don't know if they ended up having extra tickets or what. Like they called me on a weekend before ACMs and was like, hey, we were thinking about it. Maybe we should have Luke come to ACMs. And it was literally like Saturday before the Wednesday or whatever. And I actually was on a family trip. We had taken our kids to Chattanooga for the whole, you know, little weekend getaway. And I was like, wait, what? Of course, he's like, yes, because he's excited.
So it's kind of the first big invitation to go to be seated at something like that.
But the morning that I was flying out, and I mean, I didn't have a dress. Like, I didn't have time to get one. So I was like, what in my closet's going to work? And but the morning I was supposed to fly out there, I started packing. I couldn't concentrate because I was like, I don't even know what to bring. I don't know what all we have to go to. All that's going in your mind. I'm like, forget it. I'm just going to jump in the shower and then I'll pack when I get out. So I brought both of my children in, which were, I guess, 1.5 and I guess he would have been 3, into my bedroom, put the movie on, went to jump in the shower, heard this crazy sound and came out and my daughter had pulled a ginormous mirror over on herself. And she was screaming bloody murder and I'm dripping wet, conditioner in my hair, shaving cream on my legs. And she's under this mirror.
Oh my goodness.
I'm talking almost like ceiling
to floor. Like a big wall mirror kind of thing. Did the glass break?
The glass didn't break. You know why? Because my suitcase, I'd put it in the floor and it stopped it.
Wow.
But it still hit her and she broke her femur. Of course, she's too little to tell me this. She just won't stop crying. And I'm, you know,
she's like 1.5.
Mm-hmm. She was actually, maybe she was 2. She may have been 2 at that point.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, that was a very scary mom moment. You know, me trying to figure out how to get ready to go on this work trip.
Rushing around trying to make that happen. Yeah.
The tragic. Like, so needless to say, I did not go to the ACMs.
So you ended up not going to the ACMs.
I was at Children's Vendor. Yeah.
Unfortunately, you were managing a child in a cast, probably.
A body cast for 7 weeks.
Oh, I bet it was. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Not fun.
I can't imagine that with a toddler.
Not fun.
That made me think, though, that some of those things, because you guys did start this so young and together and built everything from the ground up, things like that, the ACMs, the first time this, the first time that, were all of these firsts for you, too? Have you been able to kind of enjoy all of these things along with him?
A lot of them. I mean, I had been to the ACMs before just where I had worked at a label.
Okay.
So somehow, I don't know, even though I was like very, very low on the totem pole, somehow I got to go to those occasionally.
Yeah.
And then being in A&R, you know, occasionally you would go to like the ASCAP Awards or something like that. But I was still like, I was definitely like, they're like, okay, we have 4 seats left.
And if no one else
if Tony Brown ain't going to bring anybody, we're going to give this to Carrie.
Then Carrie gets the seat. So that's the reason you experienced those
exactly.
things. Okay. So we have gotten to know Cole because Connor has had the opportunity to open up maybe where Cole has been or when Cole was on the TR tour last year, Connor did some one-off shows and things. I mean, what a guy. I love him to death. He's been so good to Connor, but his story is just one of my favorites.
Yesterday, we were in the studio, I think I said earlier, and he finished recording, and we were going to walk over to Warner because Cole has had a ginormous song right now. So we walk over to Warner to kind of do our little toast with some of them, and I knew they had some stuff planned that Cole didn't know about when we got there.
But, yeah.
So we go over to toast, but we walk in, and they start doing... They're all like clapping, and it ended up being like almost a ton of the staff. It wasn't just like their promo guys. And so it was really cool. And then they start rattling off. They had several plaques for him because from his duet with Lainey. And then they gave a couple of things, but then they turned or came out with this ginormous plaque. And Cole's favorite number is 12. It was his jersey numbers all through like high school. And this is his 12th number one, this particular song. So they made his plaque look like a jersey
with the 12 on it.
And then they started, talking about the stats of this particular song. And I, even though I knew why we were going, I just could not stop crying.
Oh, wow.
And my whole staff was like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "I am so sorry. But like, I'm about to cry right now talking about it." But it was just like almost this just overwhelming feeling of gratitude and just like, wow, he has worked so hard and my team has worked hard. And like, just for him to have a moment like that and just the great person that he is. And just, I don't know. It was just kind of
a rough year. I mean, lost his mom this year and just some other things. So to see him celebrated in that way had to be pretty special.
So he lost his dad right after he got signed to a record
deal. Yes.
And then his mom had passed away this year. So I don't know. It's just kind of like one of those.
I think he's one of the most underrated songwriters in this town, too.
I ginormously agree with you. I'm like, he'll send demos. And I mean, one night I literally had, I could tell he was excited about the song because he was texting me. And it was probably like 11:30 one night. I'm like, I better go listen to this. I could tell so I get out of bed, like go to the den, put it on. And I couldn't, like, I was like, Oh my gosh. I couldn't breathe. Like, I was like, this is so fun.
Something new or something we know about?
Something you don't know about. It was a new song that he had written. And I mean, I called him. I was like, oh my gosh, this is so fun. And I'm freaking out. And then I'm like, I'm so mad at you. I'm not going to be able to go to sleep now because like my heart rate was up.
I love about that story is that all these years later, you got out of bed.
I couldn't stand it. I was like,
after 11 o'clock at night. Maybe it's just me that sounds like a big deal. Me who gets to bed at 10. But the fact that you got out of bed at that hour excited over a song. I mean, all these years later, because you could have listened to it the next day. But that just is very telling of you. I think that's pretty awesome.
I do think those things happen like at specific times. I got a song. I mean, I think my son ended up coming home last weekend. They had a bye week at UT.
Yes.
He works with the football team. So he was like, "Mom, I think I'm going to come home." Well, Luke's tour got rerouted because of the hurricane, unfortunately, for those people. So I was about to book and like go meet up with Cole for the weekend. And then my son said he was coming home. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go home. So glad I did. It was just a great weekend in general. But we were in the car and when he got home on Friday and I went, like with the first things out of my mouth was like to him and my husband, I'm like, guys, this was just a great song week. They were like, wait, what?
Like, what?
I'm like, seriously, like Luke's going to be cutting soon. We already kind of had Cole's like what we were cutting this week. That was set. So that was one thing. I was like, but I found like 4 songs for Luke this week. That is a big week. And like, I was truly fired up about it because I still love
That's
it
pretty
so
awesome.
Much.
Is that the norm for a manager? I just have only, the little bit of experience I have in interacting with managers, but is that the norm for you to be finding the songs or is that just because you're so passionate about it personally in your background?
It's probably just, I think every manager has a different probably strength or, something that draws them in to doing it. I've had a couple conversations. I mean, there are a few like publisher friends that have now shifted gears into management. So I'm sure they're still doing the same thing. I mean, I have another manager friend who's like, they're about the marketing and finding, the brand sponsorships.
It's songs for you, though. Yeah. Is that what excites you more than probably the other aspects of the business?
Yes. I actually like doing, I like being a part of creating like the show stuff too, like the look and.
So you are involved in the creative element of the show?
Yeah, when I can be, if they let me.
That's fun. That's fun. Yeah.
I mean, definitely have a team that's really doing it, but I, you know, give input and like, just be like, well, that makes sense or that, you know, and every artist is different. Some people want your opinion and some are indifferent.
I love all these hats that you wear. I just think it's so interesting. Let's jump back to Cole. I kind of skipped over that. I just have to know about you and young Cole. I mean, was he just like this kid that would go on the bus and like hang out?
Well, I mean, when he would show up at different shows in like the South.
As a fan, right?
As a fan. He and Luke were in the same fraternity at Georgia Southern. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of where the first connection came for them. Mm-hmm. Luke would go back to do, you know, the fraternity parties or whatever. Yeah. And one time he and Luke were just hanging out before Luke was supposed to play that night. And, you know, Luke's excited. He started writing songs. Well, he plays one and Cole's like, I mean, Cole tells the story much better than me, but that's the moment he realized that people wrote those songs. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't, like when you're doing cover stuff and, you know,
which is what most people think that, you know, oh, someone gave you that.
Hit you like somebody has to write these, you know? Yeah. And I think when he realized Luke had tried to start the writing thing is when he was like, I got to do that. It's just that thing you get when you're in this industry that you just have that bug. And a lot of people, it doesn't necessarily make sense to you, or you're like,
right.
Like, cause I get asked all the time, like, you really work a lot, you know, but I do. And sometimes I don't know that I ever even thought of it that way until people start saying it so much that you're like, okay, maybe I do.
Maybe like, this isn't normal.
But I really, it's just that thing that you're like, this is like crazy. Like, it's crazy to me to watch somebody like Cole, who is truly one of the best songwriters I have ever personally gotten the privilege to be, you know, a tiny part of it in any way. But you know, I like him that night sending that song, like it's just mind blowing to me. And like the way that like their growth and their angles and the way they come, it's just so amazing.
Yeah.
That I can't ever like, just,
it's the most fascinating part of all of it to me as well, is that original crafting.
And there's a lot of pieces to it. Don't you know? I mean, booking tours and, you know, I mean, everything. I mean, the photos, when you're to schedule this, that, blah, 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 you know, that, you know, but I don't know, like that piece, like the creative brain, you know, and I have a publishing arm of my company. Mm-hmm. And so we have writers, but like, just, it's like, you just have to, they're all so different and their minds work so different.
Yeah.
But it's so intriguing. Like the main thing is to lift them up and like let them know, because like, I mean, a lot of them have interesting stories of like kind of not fitting in at times in life, and like, you know, because their brains are just so like,
they're wired different.
They're
cut from a different cloth for sure. But so interesting.
But yeah, so Cole, he would just show up at stuff. He was very passionate about just the business and how he could learn more. And you know, he was just asking Luke about, you know, so you moved to Nashville. I mean he was almost finished with college, but he could not shake it. He had to come to Nashville.
And he was like selling merch and stuff too, right? Like, he was just trying to be helpful in some way to be around it.
He was trying to figure out a way to move to Nashville.
Okay.
I think he knew if he left college that he had to have a plan.
Yeah.
So he had called Luke and was like, do you have any advice? Like, is there anything I can do to, you know, up there? And Luke calls me and says, you know, do you have a job for Cole? Well, at that time, I had no employees.
It was like, just you.
I really think for 5 years, I never not made it any dime, like not a
unbelievable.
Dime. And I was like, no, we can't pay somebody. But he was about to leave to go on tour. And then I called him back. I was like, well, I mean, I guess he could sell your t-shirts. And he goes, perfect. And he hangs up. Like, he didn't ask, Luke didn't ask any more questions.
Just did it.
He was so excited to have, you know, something to go tell Cole. And Cole literally drove up that day.
That's awesome. Yeah, just that on fire.
Yes.
Let's fast forward to American Idol. Is that something you guys go out and pitch and like, we think he'd be great for this? There's so much around that I'm curious about.
They came to us. You know, I think it probably wasn't like the first TV thing necessarily that we'd gotten, but like nothing really felt right, or, you know, like, I don't know, just wasn't something Luke was chasing by any means. But there was something in that one that when I called and just said, hey, just, you know, FYI, you know, they sent me this message. I'm about to call them back, you know, and he didn't say no. So that was interesting to me because a lot of me's like, oh, I'm not, you know, I don't think that's my thing or, you know.
So initially you would have thought he probably won't be interested in this.
He didn't say no, but he wouldn't go on, oh, yeah, you know, yeah. It was just that neutral, like, well, okay. But it felt different to me the way okay. he answered it.
Yeah.
But they had a bunch of different, you know, asks out to different artists to be a part of. And I mean, probably producers. I mean, I was hearing like all these different names being floated around, you know, but it, I don't know how long we talked to them. We did, I remember they flew Luke and his family and my family. We just happened, it must have probably 4th of July or something. I can't remember, but we were off and both families were in Florida for that weekend or whatever.
Okay.
But they flew down to Florida and that's where we first met them.
So they came to you guys to talk about what it would look like?
And, you know. And probably too to see if they really wanted to make the offer because they didn't know him either, you know, and get the personal.
Yeah.
You know, so we were all filling each other out.
So was that a lot? Has that been a lot of back and forth for you or once everything? Are you quite a big part of it?
I am. Yes.
Really?
I mean, like on set, definitely behind the scenes
right.
in the green room. But I mean, watching every single person audition and what's being said.
So when we're watching auditions, you're somewhere off the side and listening. And that's so interesting.
It is hours. It is somewhat like even once we accepted it, which, you know, that was terrifying. I hadn't had a cut deal like that, you know, on that level in the TV world. And so that was scary to dive into and like, am I doing the right deal for him? You know, is this like, is it matching other people or what, you know, all the stuff's running through your head and you're dealing with people that, you know, the thing about Nashville is like, even if you're not personally doing business with somebody, you know, a lot of people and you have relationships and there's just something about letting that Nashville guard down.
It's a whole different world.
It's a whole different world.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I definitely went into the first year of Idol, like didn't trust anything, anyone, you know, always looking around like, I don't know. You just had all that. I think I had all that reality TV stuff in my brain that they were going to try to do something to make Luke look bad.
Or dramatize it in some way.
You know, not knowing exactly how those shows played out. I mean, that's the only thing I could do to go in and be, you know, but I will say like they have been amazing. It doesn't worry me anymore. Like I know they're not trying to sabotage anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
All.
Exactly.
But I did go into it not sure.
Yeah. Had your guardrails up just a little bit. Yeah.
I didn't really trust anybody, but you know what? He loves it so much but it's a lot of work. I had zero idea that it was going to be what it was.
Yeah. Like, just the hours alone putting into it.
Because you don't obviously see all the back story of it all. Mm-hmm. And you know, you see the 2 hours on TV, you know, but it's usually like when they start showing the auditions for Idol, we've done 4 days in a city of 10 and 12 hour days of filming.
Before you're seeing that little 2 hour.
And Katie and Lionel and Luke, they spend a good 20 minutes with each person that comes through.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So that's longer than what we would really imagine. And
that may not exhausting. Seem that long when you're sitting there and you're doing 30 some people a day.
Yeah.
You're like, oh my gosh. Because I mean, sometimes like right when
I had no idea that you sit in on all of that.
If I feel like something Lucas said may be taken wrong or I can make a note or I'll send it to the producer in that moment and just be like, hey, I'm not sure that came off right.
And they listen to you. It's been good.
They'll make a note.
Good. That's good.
Of it. Like, oh, okay. We'll go back. Or, you know, hey, when you go back to watch that, you know, really check it. Because, I mean, it could look like he meant it mean and he doesn't.
Right,
you know,
right.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know. Well, and then it's Luke. You never know what he's going to say.
I was going to say, you got to be on guard all the time. Not for anything bad, but just off the cuff.
Season 6, like, you know, they all get so comfortable and like, oh, gosh, did he just say that? I guess it makes good TV. So.
Did you have a decision to make too, just like Luke would have, because it meant being away from the family and commuting back and forth to LA and all of those things? I guess you had to weigh the impact that was going to have on your own family.
I did, but I mean, I really don't think I even understood it. I don't even, you know, truthfully, I'm not even sure he did initially.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you have, you know, the contract says you have whatever, 20 some days of filming. Well, we don't live there. So we fly out the day before.
It's not 20 days.
Like, it starts adding up. It's a good double the amount of days for us because we don't live in LA. So yeah. I did miss the finale of Idol because it was her graduation weekend.
Aww.
I was not going to miss, obviously, not be there. So
the big
our
things.
Publicist went out and covered Idol. So that was great.
What do they think about what you do? Will they come out to shows when it works with their schedule, or they've just been around it so long that it's just mom's job?
They usually do not come to shows.
Okay.
They love my artists and they listen to it some, but like they hardly ever come to shows. But I will say, now that my son's in college, he comes to more stuff.
Okay. So, I can see that, with a few betties, right?
Exactly. A few, like 18. Mm-hmm, last show was 18 of his closest friends.
Guest list. Styles plus 17.
I made my heart happy. I'm like, it's all right.
Yeah.
I'll get in the pit.
What would you say that's coming up, either for you personally or for your artist, that you're just most excited about?
What I'm not excited about right now, personally, is that I'm trying to adjust to this empty nest thing. And it's crazy because I'm not, because traveling and working, mm-hmm. I've never been the hovering, clinging, definitely miss more than probably was at a lot of times. Mm-hmm. It's not that part. It's just like, wow.
Yeah. Like, is it the quiet house? Is it that's been the biggest adjustment for me?
Yeah. The quiet house is just like, wow, that really did go fast.
Yeah. No, it's so true. Yeah.
It did. But also part of me has adjusted okay to it in another sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think because especially my daughter, she'll call and it just already feels different. But it's like she's just kind of thriving.
Yeah.
And it's hard. Like the first week or so, I would just randomly cry. Like she would call and I'd start crying. And then I was like, I'm so sorry. I don't even know why I'm crying.
You're like,
it wasn't sad. She wasn't sad.
Right.
But it was like, wait, she's not home when I get there.
Yeah.
Even, my poor children, like we've eaten at like 8 o'clock at night their whole lives. Like, they don't think anything of it.
Yeah.
But, they just kind of adjusted.
Mm-hmm.
They never, my husband or my kids, it was never guilt. I made an effort to not have mom guilt.
Mm.
But I also think they helped with that.
Did we count 7 artists that you're managing?
I think.
Is that right? You've lost count.
Yes.
It's 7 doing a little bit of here
Aren't
and there.
Lucky?
I mean, look what you get to do, right? Sometimes, in our family, when our boys will be like, I have to go here. And now they want to fly me here to do. I'm like, let's go back and repeat the sentence. I get to just remind yourself the blessing, that you're in.
We're like the same person. I just said this yesterday.
Did you really?
Somebody. I promise you, I had this conversation.
That's so cool.
Standing in Warner yesterday because I was like, I'm over the whole I have to go to this number one party. I have to go.
Yeah.
I'm like, when did that start happening?
Yeah.
Why is that people's answer? It's like, but Chris Lacey and I were talking about literally yesterday.
It'll flip your perspective pretty quickly when you realize it's an opportunity.
It's a draining schedule. I mean, it is. I mean, artists do a lot, and I don't know, obviously social media, streaming, all that. It's just, since I even started in the business, I mean, the things that get asked of them are quadruple.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, we were talking about that in staff meeting today. It's like, not everything that's trending is right for everybody.
Right.
Know? So it's like, sometimes you have to, we get to be the mean people that go, no, we're not doing
We're probably not going to do that. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's just
the gatekeeper. Are you good at the hard-nosed stuff? Sometimes
I've
that you have
a
to
lot
say,
better.
Really,
yes.
I would imagine there was a learning curve for you because
big time.
I think innately we probably are a lot alike, and that would be the challenge for me. I'm not a good person to say no, and I hate conflict. We'll avoid at all costs, and there's a lot of that in your business.
I've never felt disrespected, as a whole or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the beginning, I mean, part of doing the take Luke as, the manager role.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I called Mike Dungan, who's the head of his record label, and said, I'm not doing this unless you say it's okay. And I really didn't mean that because I didn't want it to hold him back in any way. He didn't deserve that to be held back. And even if he was asking me, I knew he didn't even understand exactly what it meant. I didn't even understand what it meant.
Right. You couldn't expect him to.
So there was that piece of me that it always, I was scared about as well, so that's something to this day. I'm like, if what, if Duncan had said, like, I don't think you should do it. I mean, I guess I would have just, I would have kept pitching songs.
Yeah, what would that look like? Yeah. He'd still be out pitching songs, yes, which isn't necessarily a bad thing.
Asking Luke for a comp ticket to come see a show, I guess, at some point. I don't know.
Can I get a wristband for the pit?
Please.
I love it. Well, thank you so much. There's so much more I can talk about. And probably when I hit stop, we will. But I really just respect and admire you. And it's been fun to watch your success. One of my very favorite first shoots, I don't know if you'll remember this or not, but Luke had all my friends say out, and we were in a big field on someone's farm in Pegram, Tennessee, and he was doing a shoot for the Chevy calendar in a brand new Chevy truck. And while we were out there, the radio was on just for music while everyone was getting everything set up, and me and my crew had just come to interview him. But his song came on the radio, and at that point, it was still like, and he goes, I'm on the radio. Like, he was so excited. He cranks it up. And it was still like, it's really neat to see his success and yours as well. Looking back at seeing this young guy who was so excited to hear his song on the radio still.
What's funny is when his current single, when it came on the radio, I've gotten a screenshot from him and he's gotten one from me. Like, it's on.
Still, like it's on the radio. Wow.
Like, when you personally... We did do that. Like, I'm not saying we did that every song, but the funny thing is that you say that, like, I remember, like, it's my first time to hear it on the radio, because it was.
And so
it was,
this many years fun. Later, though. Yeah, that's so cool. I love that. Yes. I love that.
You don't take any of it for granted. And you know, it's truly been a blessing. And, you know, there's definitely hardships to it all.
For sure.
Just like motherhood.
Yes.
You know, it's definitely a blessing, but you have a lot of hard moments.
Not an easy road, for sure. Yeah.
When my daughter went to Denver, I went, okay, have fun. Please just don't be stupid. So that's my life. And that's our philosophy, right? That's what we tell our kids. Just don't be stupid.
Thanks so much for listening. I love sharing these stories with some pretty incredible women. If you enjoyed this episode, will you take a second to subscribe to Got It From My Mama, rate the podcast, and leave a comment? While you're here, tell us which mama you want to hear from. I want to share with you a miracle skincare product that works overnight. Just kidding. If anyone says that to you, run. Skincare takes time and consistency. However, let me tell you about Barefaced Toning Pads. They don't work overnight, but you can start seeing results as soon as 2 weeks after using them. Okay, so who needs them? Everyone. They're skin smoothing pads that help prevent breakouts, remove dull, dead skin, and improve the absorption of your skincare products. Basically, they reveal a more even, healthy glow with every swipe. They're Barefaced's best-selling products with over 2,000 five-star reviews and over 200,000 units sold just in 2022. So a fan favorite, to say the least. They literally could not keep these toning pads in stock for the first 2 years after they launched. So if you are looking for an easy first product to get started with, this is a must-have in your routine. Don't forget, you can use the code MAMA15 to get 15% off your first Barefaced purchase.